salvation to impart. You ask me how I know He lives. He lives within my heart. In all the world around me, I see His loving care. And though my heart grows weary, I never will despair. I know that He is leading through all the stormy blasts. The day of His appearing will come at last. He lives, Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, salvation to impart. You ask me how I know He lives within my heart. Rejoice, rejoice, O Christian, lift up your voice and sing. Eternal hallelujahs to Jesus Christ the King, the hope of all who seek Him, the help of all who find. None other is so loving, so good and kind. He lives, Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, salvation to impart. You ask me how I know He lives within my heart.
Remain standing for prayer. We're happy today to have all of you here, and we are especially proud to have Brother Lancaster here, who's been in the hospital. Brother Lancaster, will you lead us in prayer, please? Amen. Amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. And Brother Roger, do we have a scripture reading from who? All right. Good. We got a scripture reading, and then after the scripture reading, we're going to have a men's course and some specials. Looks like he's Kenda Wetzel's. I don't know where he came from. He wants down. That, for any of you that don't remember, is one of my great grandsons. And I got another one over here that's got a birthday. He's 10 going on 20. Happy birthday, Peyton.
Praise God, we have a Lord that lives. Amen. I've chosen 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and here Paul tells us of the importance of Christ's resurrection. So we're starting with verse 12 on through 23, then I'll jump over to 51 and finish the rest of the chapter. Bear with me, I don't have a teleprompter. Now, if Christ is preached that He has been raised from the dead, how do some of you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, then our preaching is in vain, and your faith is also in vain. Yes, we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he did not raise up, if in fact the dead did not rise. For if that dead do not rise, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. Then also those who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. In this life only we have hope in Christ. We are all, if in this life all we have hope is in Christ, we are all men most miserable. But now Christ is risen from the dead and has become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since by man came death, by man also came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all died, even so in Christ all shall be made alive. But each one in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterward those who are Christ at his coming. Go to verse 51. Behold, I'll tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we all will be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, but the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible has put on incorruption, and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your sting? O Hades, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is in the law. But thanks be to God, who has given us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. God bless the reading and preaching of his word. Amen. Amen.
It's time for the men's course. Would all the men please come?
Such a long spring that I have.
pastor said this morning, if he didn't rise, we have no hope. So he arose. Would you turn over to page 275? 275. Marvelous message we bring, glorious carol we sing, word of the Father we sing, King, Jesus is coming again, coming again, coming again. Maybe morning, maybe noon, maybe evening, and maybe soon, coming again, coming again. Oh, what a wonderful day it will be. Jesus is coming again. Forest and flower exclaim, mountain and meadow the same, all earth and heaven proclaim, Jesus is coming again, coming again, coming again. Maybe morning, maybe noon, maybe evening, and maybe soon, coming again, coming again. Oh, what a wonderful day it will be. Jesus is coming again, standing before him at last. Trial and trouble are past, crowns at his feet we will cast. Jesus is coming again, coming again, coming again. Maybe morning, maybe noon, maybe evening, and maybe soon, coming again, coming again. Oh, what a wonderful day it will be. Jesus is coming again. For our offering, we're going to sing number 260. Would you all rise, please, and turn over to page 260. Thank you.
God sent his son, they called him Jesus. He came to love, heal and forgive. He lived and died to buy my pardon. An empty grave is there to prove my Savior lives. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. still the calm assurance this child can face uncertain days because he lives. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know he holds a future and life is worth the living just because he lives. And then one day across the river I'll fight life's fun, no war with pain. And then as death gives way to victory, I'll see the lights of glory and I'll know he reigns. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know is worth the living just because he lives.
Hey. Brother Bob, will you lead us in prayer, please? People can hear it or not, but I'm hearing a roaring up here. It's probably in our sound system, which is really messed up. We have very expensive speakers here in the auditorium, but they are wired wrong to where you can only hear one at a time. You flip a switch, you hear out of this one. Flip another switch, you hear out of this one. But we can't get them synchronized to where we can hear out of both of them at the same time. And as a result, the sound that you're hearing from the speaker system is distorted. But nevertheless, we'll try to make up for that. Your wife has a birthday? Then Laura, would you please stand and we'll sing happy birthday to you. And Peyton also has a birthday. We'll ask him to stand and sing happy birthday to him. And beautiful little girl back here's got a birthday. Than anyone else here. All right. Yeah. Yeah. So let's sing happy birthday to them, all right? Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, God bless you. Happy birthday to you. Amen. Thank you. We appreciate all of these young faces in our congregation today. We appreciate having you in our church service today. We would like to have you in our Sunday school classes. If we had some Sunday school teachers here that could teach a Sunday school class, we would have Sunday school, and we would have a class for all of these young people that come to our church. But at the present time, we only have one, and that's me. And we have an auditorium class. So that's at 10 o'clock on Sunday mornings. We'd like to have you here. Maybe one of these days, God will raise us up some teachers that have a real burden to teach young people the Word of God and to share the Scriptures with them. So we'll have a generation coming up that will take our place whenever we are going to be with the Lord. All right. Now we have a special today from a young lady that some of you may remember. Her name is Naomi. And she's been down in Florida. And I don't know what bad habits she's picked up down there, but she can tell us all about them as Naomi comes and sings a beautiful song for us this Resurrection Day. Good to have you, Doc.
Thank you. Good to be back. Good to be back. I've been in the Florida Keys. I know I don't have the tan to go with it, but trust me, I've been there though, and it's nice and warm, and my daughter and grandkids are great, and just came back to take care of some business and to see everybody.
Hey.
I said, I've got to go over there Easter Sunday. I've got to see everybody and greet you. And then I'm headed for Branson. And hopefully the Lord will lead and I can live in Branson.
That's in Missouri.
And I understand they've had tornado watches last week.
Yeah.
Earthquakes don't bug me, but tornadoes. And you know what? I'm not on an ego trip at all. And when Christ was on the cross, he knew where I'd be today. He knew where you would be. And he loved us then, and he loves us now. And he always will, when he was on the cross. I'm not on an ego trip. I'm nothing on my own. I make mistakes and often slip. Just common flesh and bone. But I'll prove someday just what I say. I'm of a special kind. When he was on the cross, I was on his mind. crown of thorns. Remember, they shoved it on his head. Blood was on that scarlet robe. Hands tainted crimson red. His eyes were on the crowd that day as he looked ahead in time. When he was on the cross, I was on his mind. He loved me. He whose glory makes the heavens shine. So mercy, when he was on the cross, I was on his mind. Yes, when he was on the and I were on his mind. Amen. Amen.
When he was on the cross, you and I were on his mind. Think of that. Christ died for our sins. But he didn't stay dead. He rose again. Had he just died and been buried, and had they turned his tomb into some type of shrine to where every year pilgrims would go and line up and pass by and see his dead corpse petrified in that tomb, that would be one thing. But as the angels announced, he is not here. He is risen. I want to talk about that resurrection of Christ this morning, if I may. In Matthew chapter 28, Matthew, writing under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God, pens these words: in the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, cometh Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulchre. That's the burial place of Christ, the tomb where his body was laid after his crucifixion. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the women, fear not ye, for I know that you seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come, see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall you see him. Lo, I have told you. And they departed quickly from the sepulchre with fear and great joy, and did run to bring his disciples word. And then we read over in Acts chapter 1 and verse 3 about his resurrection. The scripture tells us there that he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days. In my message today, I would like to emphasize the fact that Jesus Christ, the Son of God of Nazareth in Galilee, rose from the dead. Jesus rose from the dead. All controversies between believers and unbelievers, between Christians and non-Christians, can be narrowed down to this one single battlefield. Did Jesus rise from the dead? And did he rise on the date that he himself had previously assigned as his resurrection day? That is, the third day after he died. If he did, then he is deity. If he did not, then he is an imposter. Now, from the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, I would like to show with you this morning and share with you the six distinct recorded statements that Jesus himself made during his earthly ministry concerning his resurrection. They're made at six different points of his 3.5 year ministry here on earth. I believe that Jesus himself realized and recognized that this single issue would be the crucial point upon which all of his claims are depending. Now, this is all important to us today. If Jesus Christ rose from the dead the third day, as he claims, and as the Bible records, and as Christians believe, then he is the very Son of God and God the Son, and he's worthy to be trusted. So let's check some of these out. Early on in his ministry, and this is back during the season of the Passover, by the way, recorded in John, the 2nd chapter, and the 13th verse, we find that Jesus went into the temple at Jerusalem. And inside the temple, he found a shopping mall of all things. They had booths all over the place where people were selling stuff, merchandise. And he didn't like it. Well, there was one place over here, a guy had a corral, and he was selling livestock in there, bulls and heifers and things like that. Another one over here had a big pen of sheep. He was selling sheep. And another one over here had cages of doves stacked to the ceiling, and he was selling doves to the people. And they had some people over here at some tables that were changing money, because when you go to the house of the Lord, you got to have a special money. You don't use the same money at the grocery store that you use in church. When you go to the Lord's house, you got to have religious money. You've got to have some sanctified money. You got to have some spiritual money to give. Why, out here in the grocery store, you can spend any kind of money you happen to have. Well, people would come from the grocery store, they got a pocket full of change. The priest says, hey, you can't put that in the offering plate. You got to have special money to give to the Lord. Well, where do I get this special money? I just happen to have some over here. We'll sell you 50 cents worth for a dollar. Got to make some profit, you know, off of it. And that's what they were doing inside the temple. Now, Jesus saw that. He didn't like it. He made him a scourge of small cords, the Bible says. And he drove them all out of the temple. He turned over the money changers' tables. Money just rolled everywhere. And he said to them, take these things hence. Make not my Father's house an house of merchandise. Now, you're the pastor of the synagogue here. Do you see this man out there messing up your playground? And you go out there and you face him and say, look, I'm the chief gyrosticutor of this place. Who gives you the authority to come in here and close down all my businesses? I'm making a profit off of these things. And he says to him, what sign? Sign of authority he's talking about. What right do you have? What sign showest thou unto us, seeing that thou doest these things? And what was Jesus' reply to them? Here's what he said, and it seems to not relate to the subject, but it is the very subject itself. What sign, they said. And he said, here's the sign. Destroy this temple, and in 3 days, I will raise it up. Temple. He's talking about the temple of his body, his physical body. He's talking about death, burial, and resurrection here. That went over their heads. Destroy this temple. They're thinking about that temple there. They're thinking about Solomon's temple. Well, Solomon had started it, you know. It got destroyed, and in his place they built another one. This was Herod's temple. And they remind Jesus, 46 years was this temple in building, and wilt thou rear it up in 3 days? Can you do in 3 days what it has taken all of Israel to do in 46 years? You see, Herod started reconstruction of that temple way back yonder in 20 B.C. And it's already down here to 26 A.D. now. And it's been 46 years. Now, at that particular time, his disciples and the chief priests and the Jews did not understand what he was talking about. But the scripture goes on to say in another place, but when he was risen from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this unto them. A pretty good memory. 3.5 years later, they remember what Jesus had said when he was speaking to the scribes and the Pharisees in the temple about what? The third day I will raise it up. He was speaking about his resurrection. He was naming the resurrection day, and they didn't understand it. They didn't know what he was talking about. But that's not the only time. In another instance, in order of time, we go to Matthew chapter 12, verses 38 through 49. At this point in Jesus' ministry, he was up in Galilee. And again, it's the scribes and the Pharisees that came and asked, "Master, we would see a sign from thee." This time, here's how he answered them. He said, "An evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, but there shall no sign be given to it but the sign of the prophet Jonah." Bringing Old Testament into this. Bringing Jonah into it. "For as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth." 3 days, three nights. Now, we have an added revelation here. We find that during these 3 days and three nights, Jesus is going to be buried. He's going to be in a tomb, or a sepulcher, if you want to use that word. He's going to be in Joseph's new tomb, wherein never before man had been laid, in the heart of the earth, he says. Now, the third day would be his resurrection day, see. He's speaking resurrection each of these times. A third instance, Matthew 16. Verse 21, look at that one. It's also recorded by Mark, also recorded by Luke in their Gospels. Let me read it to you from Matthew 16, 21. "From that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples," what? "How that he must go into Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes," that's the religious crowd, "and be killed and be raised again the third day." Now this time he makes that statement to his disciples, not to his enemies. In the previous two times, he'd been talking to the Jews, his enemies, those who wanted to kill him. Now again, he's giving us some additional details about his death, burial, and resurrection. Here, we learn that he's going to die a very cruel, vicious, horrible death. He's going to suffer. He's going to bleed and die. And this suffering and afflictions will be imposed upon him by the religious crowd. It's not the drunks in yonder bar that's going to get together and said, "Let's go kill Jesus." It's not the reprobates. It's the religious crowd that are after his blood. And he's going to die a very horrible death by crucifixion. But the importance of the third day is that he will be raised from the dead. In each of these instances, he's speaking about his resurrection on the third day. Now, the fourth time it's mentioned, Matthew 17, verses 22 and 23. Let me share that one with you. "The Son of Man shall be betrayed into the hands of men, and they shall kill him, and the third day he shall be raised again." What he said. So what new did he add this time? The fact that he's going to be betrayed. On Wednesday night, about the past month, we've been teaching lessons, Bible lessons, about a fellow by the name of Judas Iscariot. mentioned in the Bible. Some of you may remember him. He was one of the 12 apostles of Christ. And he was the one who betrayed Jesus to this religious crowd that wanted him dead. They paid him 30 pieces of silver for doing that. That was a lot of money back in those days. And after he found out that Jesus was going to be crucified, he kind of backed out, but the die was cast. Going too far now. So he threw the money down, gave it back to the chief priest, and he went out and hanged himself. That's Judas Iscariot. This is the first time when Jesus is talking about his death, burial, and resurrection that he mentions the fact that he's going to be betrayed into the hands of his enemies. And none of the 11 other disciples knew that it was Judas. They didn't know that. Now the fifth time he mentions it, we're getting down now toward the latter end of his earthly ministry. Recorded in John chapter 10, verses 18 and 19. Jesus has just told his disciples, he said, "I am the good shepherd." And what did he say about the good shepherd? He said, "A good shepherd gives his life for his sheep." And then he starts talking about it, and he says, "No man taketh it from me." That's his life. "No man takes my life from me. But I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father." I've got God's word on it. There was a division, therefore, again among the Jews for these sayings. So now then we find out that this life or death issue that is facing our Lord Jesus Christ is in his hands. It's under his control. "No one can kill me," he says. "But I will die." How will you die? "I will lay my life down willingly. I'll do it myself. I have that power. I not only have the power to lay my life down, but I have power to take it up again." That's the power that Jesus has. Jesus is our Savior. Because he lives, we shall live also. Now, that was a very powerful statement to make, and it caused division among the people because some of them believed it and some of them didn't. You can imagine the reaction. The question of his power, his ability to raise himself from the dead. Now, let's get to the sixth and the last time. That's recorded by Matthew, Mark, and Luke. All three of them get in the writing. I'm going to read it from Matthew chapter 20, verses 17 through 19. "And Jesus, going up to Jerusalem," he's on the road again, he's going up to Jerusalem, "he took the 12 disciples apart in the way. He said, 'Fellas, let's get over here to the side of the road. Let the rest of the people go by. I want to talk to you a minute.' He said unto them, 'Behold, we go up to Jerusalem. And the Son of Man shall be betrayed unto the chief priests and unto the scribes. And they shall condemn him to death, and shall deliver him to the Gentiles to mock and to scourge and to crucify him.'" We're learning something new again. And the third day, he shall rise again. And the very next day, he went in and cleansed the temple a second time, because those scoundrels in the temple had gone back and restored all of their stores and things, and reopened their mall. They had a special sale, you know, and all such as that. But what new does he add here? The last time that he speaks to his disciples about it, he tells them, fellas, here's how I'm going to die. They're going to nail my body to a cross. I'm going to be crucified. I'm not going to be run over by a chariot driven by some teenager that just got his license yesterday. I'm not going to become a drive-by shooting victim. I'm not going to stumble and fall and hit my head on the pavement. I'm going to be crucified. Now it's completed. Nothing more to be added. To show that his enemies remembered what he had said 3.5 years ago at the beginning of his ministry. We read in John, that we read in John chapter 2, the Bible says that they, while he's on the cross, they passed by and they mocked him and they reviled him and they wagged their heads and they said to him, thou that destroyest the temple and buildest it in 3 days, save thyself. If thou be the Son of God, come down from the cross. Now the next day, the priest and the Pharisees will come to Pontius Pilate, and they'll say to him, sir, we remember that deceiver said while he was yet alive, we know he's dead now, we know his body is buried in Joseph's new tomb, but back when he was alive, he said, after 3 days, I will rise again. They remembered it. The disciples didn't, but his enemies did. So they set a watch of Roman soldiers to guard his tomb. Jesus was betrayed by Judas Iscariot. He was tried 3 times in 3 different courts by 3 different judges. Accusations were made against him. False testimony was given, but he was not found guilty of anything. Go back and read the record. It's recorded 4 times. All, you've got a transcript, so to speak, of the testimony that was given before the judges. Never was there a guilty verdict reached in any of the 3 courts. Notwithstanding, he was delivered up and he was crucified between 2 thieves. His body hung on the cross from 9 o'clock in the morning. At noon, darkness came. Darkness had covered the face of the earth for 3 solid hours. The sun just went out. At 3 o'clock, the sun began to shine again. But by that time, Jesus had already talked to the Father, told him, Father, it's finished. It's finished. It's over. Into thy hands I commend my spirit. He bowed his head gave up the ghost. And Jesus Christ, the Son of God, died on that old rugged cross. He died for you and for me. He died for our sins. With Pilate's permission, Joseph and Nicodemus took the body of Jesus down from that old cross, his bloody, bruised, bleeding body. They prepared it for burial and laid it in Joseph's new tomb, wherein never before man had been laid. A great stone was rolled over the door, and they departed. The stone was sealed, and a guard was posted outside to keep anyone from disturbing the contents of that tomb for 3 days. So he was killed by crucifixion. He was buried. He was in the tomb for 3 days and three nights. And then he rose from the dead. God sent an angel down from heaven who rolled the stone away from the door and announced to all those who would hear, "He is not here. He is risen from the dead, as he said. Fear not ye, for I know that you seek Jesus which was crucified. Why seek you the living among the dead? Come see the place where the Lord lay." And a little later on, Jesus himself appeared, and he made this tremendous statement that is as applicable to you and to me as it was to the people of his day. He says, "Because I live, you shall live also." And that "you" is you and me. It includes us. The Apostle Paul wrote, he said, "Christ died for our sins. He was buried. He rose again the third day. And if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved." That promise was not to just those of that day, but those words are just as powerful and as pertinent today and meaningful to us as they were 2,000 years ago almost. If you believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that he died for your sins on the cross of Calvary, that he was buried, and that he rose again, when the death angel comes and takes the soul from your body, you will go to be with the Lord. And all hell can't stop you. The devil and all of his angels have to move aside because God is in control. And when the time comes, do you fear death? Do you fear death? When the time comes, we step through that door that we can call death, but on the other side of it, we know there's glory and eternity and everlasting life with Jesus Christ our Lord. Let's stand together, please, with our heads bowed in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning that we can talk about Jesus. We know that he died on the cross for our sins, that he was buried, that he rose from the dead the third day. The Holy Spirit of God has borne witness in our hearts that that's the truth, and the eternal destiny of our soul rests upon that divine truth. If there's one in this congregation today that does not know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, I pray that today the Holy Spirit of God will convict them of their sins, show them that they're condemned already without Christ, and show them that God forgives sins, and bring them to Jesus that they might be saved. We give you the honor and the glory for it. In His precious name, amen.
484.
Number 484. Sing a verse of invitation. Not a long invitation today now. So if God's dealing with your heart, you come. You come today. Will you do that? Will you come today? Again, I want to thank each and every one of you for being here and sharing with us the glory of Christ in resurrection on this, His resurrection day. This evening at 6 o'clock, I'm going to be bringing a message about cosmic conflict. I'm going to be talking about why some of you are having problems. Domestic problems, financial problems, health problems. We're going to talk about sorrow, suffering, and grief, and a lot of things like that, and the reason for it. Whenever you get sick, you probably think that, well, God's catching up with me for all my bad things that I've been doing, and I'm getting paid. This is payback time, you know. Don't you do that? Lord, what did I do to deserve this? Yeah. Well, it may not necessarily be because of what you've done. Because I see some mighty fine people who get sick every once in a while. I have to ask the Lord, Lord, why them? Why them? That's some of the best people I know. But we're going to talk about the why tonight. And at least when you leave, you'll leave knowing a little more than you knew when you came in. We'll guarantee you that. May not answer all your questions. I'm sure I won't. But come out and be with us. Our text is going to be about the war in heaven. That's where the war started, in heaven. Didn't start here on earth. Started in heaven. Sometimes you and I get caught in the crossfire. Sometimes we step on one of those enemy landmines out there and it blows a leg off. We'll talk about that tonight. Appreciate again your coming today. Hope you have a fine rest of the day. And Bible study Wednesday evenings at 6. As we're dismissed in prayer, Brother David, would you lead us, please, in our benediction?
Dear Heavenly Father, it's been so good to be here today and to know that through the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we all have the opportunity to accept you. Lord, we pray that if anyone here, Lord, still has doubt about that, Lord, that they would go to someone, ask someone, how do I make sure that when I die, I'll go to heaven. Lord, we thank you and praise you for this time that we've had today. We ask you to be with us as we leave this place. And Lord, bring us back again tonight, Lord, to hear your word. And we just thank you and praise you for this time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.